Welcome back to the Bitter Jurors podcast. We are queer Legend of Korra superfan podcast here today talking book 4, chapter 5, Enemy at the Gates, aptly titled. That is what happened in this episode. My name is Sam Stanish. With me as always is a wonderful co-host, dear friend, valiant champion of the good. It's Derek Reining.
Wow. Okay. I feel like there were lots of enemies at several different kinds of gates in this episode.
Emotional, physical gates, yes. Structural,
societal,
spiritual,
etc. Yes. Stuff going on, betrayal. But I feel like plot wise, did anything happen?
Korra arrived.
Yes.
And Varric is in the bad graces of Kuvira now. But I do know, I mean, I feel like certain things happened in this episode, but it was a little light on plot movement. But I felt like it was still a good episode. I had a good time watching all this stuff.
I agree. Very timely for them to sort of be bringing up Oppenheimer, yes. As we're saying. I was looking for a Barbie reference. Asami was more prominent, so I guess she's the Barbie.
And Kuvira is sort of like Emperor Barbie.
Yes, that's true. I could see that for her. So this was a really fun episode. It was kind of like an emotional check-in. It was like a way for Korra to re-enter the plot at large. The Air Babies were in it for a little bit, but then they kind of dipped.
And we got the flashback stuff. I felt like there was good stuff here.
Yes, absolutely. So let's dive deep into what even happened.
The first thing we saw was the fleet of airships like coming around the mountain, and yeah. I just felt like that. I don't know why. It just felt like it was so artfully done and beautifully rendered. Like I felt like I was watching like a pod of whales swim through the ocean or something. The way they did it.
It was really lovely. I think that was something else that stood out to me. Like the backgrounds have always been beautiful in this show, but I think just extra painterly in this one. I wonder why. Maybe was this sort of this is really where the like shit is hitting the fan here. So we got to like make it look nice. Had some really cool bending moments. There was a time when we were doing like best bending moment of the episode. And I feel like that has to go to Bolin breaking out the lava bending.
Sure thing. I mean, this episode had so many different kinds of animation. Mm-hmm. Like all of the machines are even though it's very clearly not animation the same way that everything else is, it's not like it breaks my immersion or whatever. And then the lava always looks so different from everything else too, so it looked very cool.
Yeah, the CGI elements I think honestly have aged decently. Like obviously they're it's like a sort of different movements from these things, but
rigid. I feel
like that, yes, rigid. It's like that fits. They're like, they don't feel of this world. Like they've been introduced to this like place. It like fits that it feels very like out of place visually. Very cool.
I know. And they've gone from like tanks were this huge major change in things just like 70 years ago. And now there's like single person mech suits. Yeah. So I'm excited to see where it goes next.
Yes, it's very, I've been on a Final Fantasy kick lately, a very Final Fantasy VI, very Magitech moment, and it was cute. I loved it. Julie, getting to see Julie, like, throw down was a lot of fun. I don't know if we've ever seen her fight before.
I doubt it. I feel like she was talking a lot more than she usually does, too, in this episode, finally getting her flowers, main character moments.
Yes, while Varric is, Varricking about. It was interesting that Kuvira, maybe it's just like the pressure getting to Kuvira, but I feel like she's at her most villainous here. I feel like she was not even trying to hide it from people. Like, I am clearly a dictator and that's just the way it is.
No, yeah, she started force choking someone in order to create a nuke. So like some of the most villainous things you could do.
Oof. That is yeah, that's, and she was like straight up like, yeah, once you're like in the inner circle, you like get to see the fascism happening to Bolin, which is like, I feel like at that point that was his out, which he did take eventually by the end of the episode.
He tried anyway.
Yes, he did. So yeah, there was like plotty stuff there. Bolin's no longer on the evil side. Varric is going to a labor camp. Julie is apparently making a heel turn, right? That's the correct terminology.
We'll see.
Do you have doubts?
To me, it just feels like she... I feel like next episode she's going to be like, Varric, I'm still with you, whatever that kind of thing, you know?
I mean, you've seen the show before, so you...
Yeah, but I don't remember what happened. I wouldn't make a prediction like that if I actually remembered what was going on.
You're very much like those people who... what's like a comparable thing? I guess people who know like Drag Race spoilers or stuff and are like, I predict this will be the final three of the season.
I just really feel like Sarah is going to win Game Changers.
Oof. Oh, yeah. That was spoiled, wasn't it? Why did anyone even bother watching the season if we knew that was coming?
We were young. We were...
It was a very different time where like women's like still have a chance of winning the game. Right? That was right before the 6 men in a row. Yeah.
Yes.
Terrifying. I know this because last night I was at one of my fiance's friend's birthday party and it was Survivor themed. There was Survivor trivia and I did have to at one point like count out all the women who have won Survivor in my brain.
I do that every night before I go to sleep. Yeah.
Say my prayers. 39% is how of seasons have been won by women, which was like even lower than I would have thought. Like not even close to 50%.
You know, in the first 10 seasons, way more women had won.
I know.
Not way like, more, but more. It was. I think it was 60-40 the other way.
I know. It was significant. And then they're like, no.
Once they saw Stephanie LaGrosso point that out on that boat, they were like, we got to change some stuff.
Forever. We will never let that be a factoid again. Very sad.
I wish that they would print Pringles with Avatar trivia also. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they ever did? I'm trying to remember, because obviously I feel like Pokemania was like such a big thing in our childhoods. And I don't think anything ever reached that level, but I definitely remember like a moment when Avatar had some like tie-ins with things.
I'm looking and see if there's like Trivial Pursuit or something. Yeah.
Avatar product tie-ins. I guess I should specify The Last Airbender, not James Cameron.
Movie tie-ins.
Oh. Yes. let's see.
The Last Airbender manga. I've never seen this before. This is so weird.
Oh, I remember seeing these covers because they're very strange. Yeah, and Katara and Sokka are like clearly white on the cover. Oh my god. And Zuko even is white somehow.
There's 5 novelizations of the movie.
It's like, okay, so we have to keep Aang and Zuko looking sort of like similar to the cartoon, but Katara and Sokka fully are like brunette, like Caucasian people. What a strange
seeing that they made video games from the movie reminded me of that.
Yes,
trailer for the. It looks like it's going to be like the whole show, right?
That's what it seems like. It seems very they did that with like Lord of the Rings, right? Like the entire plot.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like it looks very outdated. But how else are you supposed to communicate like the sort of cartoonishness without using lots of cell shading and stuff? I don't know.
I mean, there's layers to it because, I mean, the Spider-Man games are some of the most highly regarded games that have come out recently, and that's like all obviously comic book stuff. But like this, the gameplay of the new Avatar game just doesn't even look that like.
Yeah, I know. It's like you just like kind of walk up to stuff and like click a button. Oh my god! Sorry, I'm looking at now screenshots of the movie's Wii game. It's so scary looking. Like they're kind of like the models. They look very similar to if you remember the Harry Potter games from the PS like 1.
Yes.
Like where it looks like they just like grafted like a human face onto these like polygons. That's what it looks like.
I did the same thing as you where I accidentally did Avatar Wii game and that pulled something else up. Oh, this game looks horrible. Wow.
I know. I'm like want to see. I'm sure there's like a playthrough on YouTube somewhere, right? That feels like something that would exist.
But like, I'm now pulling up this screenshot from a 2006 Avatar game, and I would not say that the trailer that's coming for the game that's coming out soon is much better than like what this game looks like.
Literally, it's like, where was there no budget this time? It's so sad. I mean, whatever. I guess I don't understand why they keep trying to make the video game. I just like feel like we don't need that.
I love a video game installment. I think that it's fun. I think it's over long overdue that they're finally like doing it all as a video game. I feel right. Like it feels like that is such an obvious thing to do. Will I play it? Probably not, but I think there is a market for it.
Yes. The core game looks nice. I just heard it like doesn't play very well, which is weird because it's made by Platinum Games.
I'll probably be googling like Katara all technique
yes
supercut.
There's the menu looks very intensive, but it looks good. Honestly, it looks better than the new Avatar one. Like the cell shading actually looks nice. Interesting. Okay, well, video game deep dive on the pod. Cora is swinging around like a spirit and using it as like a club in this like screenshot, and I love that. Why didn't that happen in the show?
Maybe it still will.
Maybe. I do remember there's that Avatar DS game that like they clearly like received like notes on like or like a story outline for what was going to happen in book two, but like they didn't know what was going to happen. So there's like some, like there's mm-hmm. like kind of like a drill that like is piloted by like a new like female villain, and they go into a library at one mm-hmm. point. Wow, what a moment in time that was.
I'm seeing GIFs of the core game now, and it does look very beautiful.
I know.
Really cool.
It's like we could have made this like the Avatar game look like this, but maybe like everything I'm reading is just like it doesn't land. Oof, a 5.5 from Game Informer.
Out of 6.
Damn.
Yeah. So Korra arrives to Zafu with yes. the air babies. And she's, it was very funny in this scene. Milo is like, oh my gosh, yeah, big Avatar fight. Woohoo. And Korra's like, there's not going to be a fight. And it's just very funny because I know that the next episode is called like the Battle of Zafu. So I was like, there's going to be a fight.
There will be fighting. I know. Like, let's not pretend. I did like that line from Korra where she's like, okay, old me was all about like just like fighting people. So like there's been growth here, which I really enjoy. And it sets up a cool little parallel, I guess, parallel or juxtaposition between Korra and Kuvira, like you said, who is like force choking people and like having her minions like beat the shit out of people to keep them in line. Like we're setting up this difference between like Kuvira is what Korra used to be, someone who uses violence to intimidate and corral people and control people. Korra did it in the name of good, in quotes, but now it's like she has to deal with someone who uses her own methods.
And it feels like a parallel between her and Aang in the end of the show too, because both Milo and Sue are like, you have to kill her. And she's like, I'm going to be a diplomat now. And it's just very like the Avatar spirits being like, girl, get in there.
Like, you have to kill her.
Milo being the embodiment of like Yang Chen in this moment.
Oh, of course. Love that for him.
And Sue, obviously. Kiyoshi.
Yes, of course. Who then? Kurok, I feel like would it be, well, who's like the himbo? Varric or Bolin? Because still Kurok's, I'm sure we talked about it during the finale coverage for Avatar, but Kurok's advice is still just like so funny. Like, yes, I did get the love of my life like murdered. Don't let that happen.
I would go with the flow, Avatar.
Which like, but, whatever that means.
Right. And I only read the first Kiyoshi book, but my memory of that book is that like he truly left the world in such a terrible state. Like, yeah. Messed everything up. So don't be like Kurok, I'd say.
Don't.
Bolin is kind of the himbo. Is that what you said? Yeah.
Yeah, I would say he fits that sort of archetype, but he's not, I don't think he interacts with Korra at all. I don't think any of the Team Avatar have seen each other.
Mako's not even in this episode.
Yeah, which I'm like, that's okay. Like, I guess he's looking after King Wu, former King Wu.
I guess so. Deposed. Even though he's not even...
He never was a king.
He was not even coronated, and so now I guess he's just, like, chilling in Republic City.
Chilling in Cedar Rapids?
Yeah. Like, he's gonna start a Vine account.
Oh my god, a Spirit Vine campus. Account.
Really good. Really good.
Thank you. Yeah, that's I did like the little like science like sci-fi mumbo jumbo that was coming out of Varric's mouth. As a known Battlestar Galactica enjoyer, like that always just hits a sweet spot.
Absolutely. And I mean, I said it last week, I'll say it again. Varric was giving me Pacific Rim. And yes. Just like I love that he named the power reader off of himself. He's like, there's five Varics.
Yeah, it's just like, it's so like, he doesn't like pause to explain. And I've named energy after me. It's like, just like you just like understand it implicitly mm-hmm. what's going on there. And it's so funny. Great writing.
And then this is when the machine gets turned on and a gigantic laser blasts out of the back of the train. And this is Varric's moment where he now understands that making weapons leads to people dying, because he almost died from the weapon being fired, and decides that he's no longer going to create super weapons anymore.
He's like, oh, like being a war profiteer can come back to bite me. Interesting.
Now that it might affect me.
Yeah, literally like with the panthers who eat faces, whatever that thing is that people always reference. Yes. Very that vibes. But you know, I will always applaud Varric's willingness to like turn on people when they're doing bad things.
he's fine with it to a point, and he knows when he's reached that point. He knows his limits.
He's the ultimate like Big Brother floater, I feel like, right?
Yeah. and I feel like he's very Iron Man in Iron Man 1 here, being forced to create like weapons.
I'm surprised they didn't like go there with him, you know, like have him like make like a mech suit for himself and stuff.
Well, he didn't have to since he just found one.
Yes, that was true. Yeah, that was a fun little fight too. It's nice to see, like I said, Bolin go all out again. I feel like this is our first time seeing him like implement lava bending since book three.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, this, I just liked all the Julie in this episode. Like, she fell out of the back of the train, and he pulled her back into the train, and there's like the tension, the romantic tension being hinted at. And then, yeah, she's just really cool in the fight using all the different pieces of the machine. Like, when she fired those two hooks out into the ground and then used them to pull herself in, like, and kick the other mech suit.
Very fierce. Yes. Talk about mastering combos.
And then Varric makes a very low blow about her weight, and she takes it in stride, and she's just like, I'm not heavy, you're just weak, sir.
Like, why is he negging her? I don't like that.
I don't know. And then she's like, you saved me. And he's like, of course I saved you. And there's all the music. And then he's like, because who else is going to clean this up?
Like... Ugh, what a turd. Why is she hanging around? I mean, she's apparently not going to hang around him anymore.
Yeah, this is it's finally been too much. She knows where it's too much, too. She's learned from Varric, and she's out of there.
She should be, like... But it's, like, to go to, like, the fascist, the girl boss. I guess it's, like, if you're going to listen to one of them, I feel like you would, I guess, pick her. I mean, he's making nukes, but she was the one who told him to make nukes.
Yeah, he wants to not.
Right, he's like made them, and then he's like, never mind.
And but I'm just like, what did he think was gonna happen? He designed the laser.
Yeah, but he's like, what did he think the like end goal was? I don't know. Maybe he thought she would use it to like weld things. I don't know what else you would use a laser for. Then LASIK. Maybe LASIK. He wanted to invent LASIK. Yeah,
because Julie has glasses.
Yes, that makes sense. Okay, it was benevolent.
I was never going to get LASIK in the first place, but my friend who got LASIK a long time ago informed me of what the procedure is like, and it just sounds so awful, and I would never do this. But apparently what happens is they cut into your eyeball and like lift it up off of it and then do some work and then like put your eye back down on itself and then close it back up. I would never. And you're awake the entire time.
I know. Oh, Jesus. I didn't know that part.
Yeah, no, like you see it.
Oh, maybe. Well, then do you feel like do you see your eye having better vision as it happens?
I guess so.
Yeah, that is kind of frightening.
Terrible. We get a break from the Zhaofu stuff and we get this Asamani B plot. It's fine, I guess.
Like a D plot.
Yeah, you're right. It's just the only thing not happening in that little like area in that valley. But like she's coming to return the letters to her dad, and she's like, "Stop calling." And he says, "You're the most brilliant thing I ever created."
That was like a bridge. That was like a step too far to me. Like he might as well just say, "You're my greatest invention," is like what he was trying to say, which is like. That's cute, I guess, but it's like, I don't know. Jail has been rough on him. He's like fully gray now.
Yes, and I will say that Asami's outfit looks amazing.
Yes, stunning. My question is, she's so fucking rich. Why is her Paisho board so...
Thank you.
Like, decrepit.
Thank you.
Missing time. Like,
it's not even fully circular.
Like, girl, you are like a tech billionaire. Like, what? You have better Paisho. Like, you could have bought one. Like, you could have told the guards to go buy one.
Right. Like, I thought that too. Cause, like, you could just, I mean, it was really well animated because you could tell that it was not good. But, like, it didn't make sense that she wouldn't have a better one.
Exactly. I was like, it brought me out of it a little.
She needed to carry it in her purse, but.
Surely they make like a Monopoly boards like fold up pretty easily, and they're still not like rough around the edges, unless it's like she uses it a lot.
I guess she plays a lot of Paisho, or maybe they used to play a lot of Paisho. But even then, like he was rich too, so he would have had a better one.
Right. So, and I don't know. Maybe he could buy a better one from the commissary. Who knows? Now I need the like. Is Daniel Day Kim the voice?
I don't know.
Let's see.
But TikTok has realized I like Lost and has started providing me with videos about Lost. And I feel like there's always people being like, they didn't understand, they didn't plan the ending. And then other people are always like, it's actually one of the best endings in TV history. So just back off.
Like, damn. Okay. Yes, he played, Daniel Day Kim was Hiroshi. And a random guy in Avatar 2. I remember that. Like a bit character.
The Way of Water?
No.
You said Avatar 2.
Oh my god. which is now on streaming, right?
Perhaps.
Now that's something that deserves a 5.5 out of 10.
Daniel Day Kim is the guy in Angel also? Dang.
Wait, what? He's an angel.
I think his name's Gavin Park. I imagine that's a guy. I think he works at Wolfram and Hart.
That makes sense. Ooh, I'm glad you could remember the name of the lawyer, the evil lawyers.
Well, I didn't actually. Oh, Wolfram and Hart. Well, I am in the depths of the Buffyverse currently. Ooh, he looks good in the suit.
Ooh.
He has a trading card. Gavin Park.
Daniel Day Kim, Buffy card. Now I'm curious.
It's got a quote on it. I'm fighting Angel in my own way. That vision thing.
Love it. Dang. I have all the people who like scan these like one-off trading card games are my heroes.
I agree.
Like that. There was definitely an Avatar one too. Because I remember they introduced like a Toph love interest randomly.
I've looked at every single Wheel of Time trading card.
I bet that's probably a really fun game to play.
Maybe. I didn't really get, I didn't read any of the rules. I just like looked at all the different colors. I just looked at the art primarily, but didn't really get a handle on how it plays. How the decks pilot.
Yes. I feel like the Avatar trading card game is probably like not fun. It's just like, where was the like care? The care of the show versus like the care of like every other like associated tertiary work.
Did you ever play the Flash game Avatar that was like Pong? I feel like that was the best of an Avatar game.
Battle of the Elements, I think is what it was called. That was so fucking good. I do remember like the RPG they made too, Autumn Twilight. It was like 3D and you could like choose to be a waterbender or an earthbender.
Oh my god, I feel like that always crashed my computer and I was never able to play it.
I would try to play it on like the school computers and it would not work. Avatar. I feel like there were going to be like multiple parts and then like they never did more than the one.
Wait, this game is considered lost media and no known footage of it exists, apparently.
What? That's sad to me. Surely there's a way to access it. There's like screenshots.
Yeah. Apparently there's no video. At least 3 years ago, there was no video. So this is so bizarre.
Although said to be refined, Mei Ying's personality is also described as hot-headed. Okay.
She has layers.
I love this trivia section. I love that. Bring back Autumn Twilight is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we don't need the new PS4 game or whatever. We need Autumn Twilight.
I know, which is like such a funny name. Like, why was it called that? Okay, I feel like we're just going down like the deep.
I know.
Not talking about this episode.
Even though this was good. A good episode.
I feel like that happens to us.
But it's not like we're like criticizing. Like, I feel it's not like episode one where we like spent the entire time critiquing it, but we were like, it's good. We're just like talking about other stuff.
I know. It's just that's the vibe. Yeah, I'm trying to remember because we got some Sue, which was nice. And we did get a little peek into like the rift between her and Kuvira, which I thought was really funny when she was like, yeah, we had like this moment where like Kuvira was like, yeah, you should like be a fascist and take over other places. And Sue was like, no, we're not doing that. And then like current, like present day Sue upon reflecting was like, I didn't know it then, but that was the beginning of our differences. I was like, you didn't know in that moment. Like it was very Anakin and Padme of like when they're in like the meadow and Anakin just like drops that he like really thinks that like you should just like take over the planet, like the galaxy, and she's like, that's crazy. You're weird but hot still.
And now like Sue is like, I will not go to war. And now she's like, the end of the episode is that she's like leaving. She tries to get Korra to kill Sue or Kuvira. And now at the end of the episode, when she knows Korra won't do it, she's like, I'll go do it.
I'll fucking do it. I don't care.
I did love that Sue specifically was like, go into the Avatar state and kill her.
Yeah, she's like, fucking drop her ass, which I do think that's funny that's like the through line between Aang and Korra is like, people just want you to use your avatar powers essentially as gun. Like, they're like, you're the only gun on the planet, so you just need to go and shoot this person.
And rarely does it ever happen that way.
I know, they're always like, but that's fucked up. But I mean, which I appreciate. It's like, you're asking this person to like, do something that like doesn't really happen that often. I feel like at least in like what we see on the show, like obviously like the entire genocide of the airbenders happened, but otherwise I feel like people get like what's the word, they get like wrapped up, captured,
knocked out,
or I mean they get like encased in lava but they jump out of their mechs.
Right, that's what I was about to say. I really thought that the machines that Bolin was melting was just going to be completely killing the people inside, like, but they got out.
I mean, in real life they would be cooked alive really, like instantaneously, but they got out, don't worry. They did give a little ooh, ouch, as they did it.
They like hopped across the lava.
Ooh, it's a little warm over here. Maybe it's like light lava since he's like heating up the rocks.
This episode introduced us to the concepts of slave labor and re-education camps.
Yes.
And Opal is very, very mad that Bolin has picked the wrong side. And he's like, there's no sides. And she's like, what about all the slaves?
Your side has slaves on it. And Bolin's just like,
that's not true.
Very much not beating the immune to propaganda. He's not immune to propaganda. The Garfield meme that actively so.
I don't know the Garfield meme.
Apologies. Oh, where it's like you are not immune to propaganda. Let me send it in the chat. But yeah, I'm glad he did finally, you know, catch up. That's our Bolin though. Takes a little bit.
And this is when Kuvira drops her threat. She's like, you either will join this. I like that this is the last thing that needs to join the new kingdom. She's like, join us or we will be taking you by force. She's done. She wants to relax. It's been 3 years of this campaign and she's ready to just rest on her laurels for a bit. And Sue is standing in her way.
She's had it.
Officially.
Which, yeah, like I feel like that explains why Kuvira is like kind of letting the guard down because she is so close to her goal. My question is, like, clearly her foreign policy is not up to snuff if she's, like, doing, like, pulling off a coup in front of everyone.
Domestic policy. This is all internal Earth business.
I'm just concerned about what she's going to do after she accomplishes it. But to be fair, like we said before, Zuko and his daughter just, like, did not do anything. So it's like, maybe she's like, well, clearly they don't give a fuck, so I'm just going to do this and then I'm good to go.
Well, like, the world leaders stood behind Kuvira when she started taking over the Earth Kingdom. Like, is what she said. Like, once she took over Ba Sing Se, they were like, yeah, great, keep doing this.
I know. It's like, Zuko, what happened? I guess he's just old. Maybe he just doesn't care.
Zuko was raised in an indoctrinated state of like taking over the world, and so I feel like he just has a bad read on what is good and what is bad, especially now that Aang is dead. Like, he just does not have a moral compass anymore.
Yeah, he's like, this is normal. This is how government works. Poor little guy. Oof.
And then his daughter, it's like, she's never spoken, so we have no idea what she's up to.
Yeah, and there were no water, like, Korra's dad wasn't there in attendance for this as the presumed leader of the water tribes.
That it's him and Eska and Desna, right?
Aren't right. They the, oh, wait, the... they were there. They didn't care. They like are top brass in the I don't give a fuck war. So that makes sense that they don't care.
They had a hotel room up to their specifications. That's all they care about.
Right, exactly. But then it's like, yeah, why was Korra's dad there? And I'm just like forgetting it. Probably.
I think he might have been, but didn't speak. Or maybe he was at home worrying wherever Korra was. I don't.
Yeah. Oh, was he searching for her? Because they're all... I love that Korra just like casually drops back into these people's lives, and they're like, "You've been like a missing person, like actually like missing person for months."
And she's like, here I am. I also love that there's...
We don't have time.
They're like, wow, you really went through it these past couple months. they're catching Korra up on like who Kuvira is and what she's been doing. But she's like only been gone a couple months. She definitely knows who Kuvira is.
Right. I don't know. She probably just like does not keep up with modern, or not modern, with like the daily news.
I also thought, like, you would think that Korra would be like, Sue, I met your mom.
Yeah, no mention of that whatsoever, which I also love. Properly told her not to say anything, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, please do not tell my daughter that you know where I am, because she's going to, like, come for me. Ooh. And we need more Lin as well. She's stuck in Republic City, right?
I think her scene that we've had of her so far was telling Mako that he'll need to stay on as Wu's bodyguard.
Yes, and that was it. So underutilized.
Yes.
But we did get sexy twins this episode.
They were there, and they're on the mission to kill Kuvira.
Mm-hmm. Which I appreciate. Where was... Did we have Artsy Boy?
He was there, but he was not featured on... Like, he was in that little meeting when the twins were there, too, but he wasn't, like, seen. I just saw his long hair.
Yes, he was... but not heard.
just like the twins, they also didn't speak.
Yes, they just like glowered at Balin, I think. Even though they both are definitely attracted to him.
I forgot about that.
This is confirmed in my brain.
And mine.
Yes.
So this is when the flashback all happened, and like, I wish we got a longer extended flashback of this, because it's like Kuvira and him planned behind her back and like left with the security force. It's like, did the entire guards of Zhaofu just like up and leave, is what it sounds like. And so then they go and like capture Bossing Say. That would be a good video game.
Ooh, yes. Again, it's like, there was like a Lord of the Rings thing like that too. Like that was just like the War of Mordor. Is that a thing that happened in the books?
There's been all sorts of Lord of the Rings video games.
Yes, but I agree. Like, I feel like we need to like hone in on these like cool little moments, like build your little Earth army, which I think they also did have something like that. That was like a catapulting game. Do you remember that?
Maybe.
You could be any of the four nations and you got to catapult things.
They're having the same issue that I feels like George R. R. Martin was facing when he was trying to do the time skip in the books, where he kept having to like write in flashbacks or whatever, and so he just didn't do the time skip. And so, but here it's like we're not getting a lot of flashbacks, but I'm kind of like, I don't know, this seems like it would have been cool to see, and I like all the tension in the flashback.
Yeah, it would have been cool to have like the first few episodes of this book be that, and then we could maybe do like a little mini time skip once we establish everything.
Or like, yeah, like first episode is like right after book three, and then we skip like a year, and then another year, and then another year or something.
Yes, that would have been cool. But I mean, I don't know. I think this is fine.
Oh yeah, yes. No, it's I'm having a blast. Book four is good.
Yes, Fortress Fight is what this game was called.
You can is only that also be... Lost Media?
No, I think they like made a new one too. Yeah, Fortress Fight 2. The sequel. It looks the same though. It looks like fun as hell though. It looks like something I would like play on my phone.
Flash game long play. YouTube yes. video.
Yes, don't let... I need to remember to watch the horrible Wii movie game. Don't let me forget. That's my next goal in life.
Oh, I did play this game now that I see this little fortress.
It was fun. I remember like you could upgrade your balls that you flung. I don't remember if you were playing against computers though.
It looks like there is a two-player mode that is much the same as normal single-player mode. The only difference is that in two-player mode, the game is done on a turn-by-turn basis and not against the computer, but with an in-life playmate.
in-life playmate. Me and my in-life playmate. Oh my god, I love that. I mean, but then that makes it there needs to be like a tactical RPG avatar. There are like routes that they could take to make a good avatar game. They just don't want to do it. I don't know.
Maybe if this game doesn't flop, we'll get more, but we'll see. We go back to Asami, and she sees a dad in the park playing Taisho with her, with his daughter, and she's like, I don't know,
wistful. Wow.
Yeah, no speaking. All of Asami's scenes are like under a minute in this episode.
I know, she's just here to like surface and then leave.
We're checking in on her emotional journey with her dad,
right? Which I appreciate. I mean, this is like the last season, so I think we should get some resolution there. Yeah. Anything? Any other big happenings?
Varric and Balin escaped together. Varric was like, I liked when Kuvira like threatened him. She like used the metal on his outfit to like lift him up in the air and like to hold him over the tracks. That was kind of cool.
Which feels purposeful. I feel like she made them so like I could kill any of you at any moment.
But I feel like we talked about everything else, like Balin and Balin, we get the Julie heel turn, as you said. And then, well, Korra went to go talk to Kuvira and tried to be like, hey, can you not? And then, and then basically they talked for like 6 seconds and Kuvira was like, go back to Sue and tell her to reconsider. And then Korra was like, okay.
You got it, Diva.
she's really thriving in the diplomat part of the Avatar world.
Serving. Yes, you did it, Cora. I mean, the fact that, I don't know, she did not handle a civil war well either, I feel like. Like, I don't know why she thought that would work.
It's been all terrorist groups up until now, where she's now up against this big army, and she's like, maybe I don't have a chance of fighting all these people, so maybe I should try this. And, you know, you would think that she might have been trained a little better in this realm, but she's not a boardroom avatar. She's, you know, a battlefield avatar.
Yes, exactly. Now I want Cora in like a nice little dapper suit. Maybe in future media.
Could provide.
Yes. But yeah, I feel like we've covered the ground, right? This was a lot of setup for sure. I feel like we're building up, like you said, to the Battle of Zaofu, which is happening. And I'm excited. I don't remember, like you, I don't remember much of what happens, so this will be fun.
Yeah, no, I think the episode was really good. They treaded a little bit, but they made some progress too, and there were good character moments, different turns on each other, betrayals, and we got some information in the flashback. I thought this was really good.
Yeah. We introduced nuclear power to the world, so that's pretty good.
I'm really happy that, I don't know, like books 3 and 4 have just been great. I'm glad that we're watching them.
That's why, like, I feel like we talk about everything but the episode, is because it's like there's like not much to critique. Like, it was a slay.
Yeah, good stuff. Excited to see Cora in the Battle of Zaofu next week.
Me too. Maybe it'll be a battle of wits. We're being like blueballed here. Like, diplomacy battle, my favorite.
I mean, yeah, it could be like Avatar Succession next week.
An Avatar Suck session. Whoa.
I've written that.
Any other final thoughts on, which feels like we're deeper in the season than we are, but it's only episode 5.
Yeah, we're not even halfway there.
I know. Good job, everyone. Good job, writing team. Yay. Applause. Are you down to plug?
Oh my god, yeah, I was about to like end the call.
Bye.
Follow me at Sam Stanish everywhere, including freaking Threads now. You can follow my other podcast, Buffy Boyfriends, big Buffy Boys, Buffy Boyfriends, on Instagram and Twitter, talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are almost done with season 2.
Yes. Follow us at Bitter Jurors Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And Threads now too, which I believe a follower helped you figure out how to even do that with multiple accounts.
I had no idea how, and thankfully Survivor OOC helped me find out.
Period. Which, like, again, seems like that should have been something they thought about when they made the app. But anyway, follow me, I guess, on Instagram and Threads if you want, drining101. Follow me on Twitter, Raindeerix. Follow Shadow Play Gays. Things are happening. Things are coming together. So
you need to get that Google Drive link.
Yes, it's up there. It's still taunting me. Yes, things are coming down the pipeline for Shadow Play Gays. Listen to Stanima. Have you already done your recording?
No, but it will be coming up.
We will both be on. So listen to that.
I've got to watch Survivor Panama also.
Yes, do that.
Later, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.